hits 103.9 FM in Accra on Love 99.5 in Kumasi, streaming worldwide at myjoyonline.com, Spaces on YouTube. We're also live in all 16 regions of Ghana via partner stations, including Radio Justice Tamale, Lolonyo FM Hohoi, Inkligi FM Bali, Castle FM Cape Coast, Oil City Radio, Takrady Ganga FM Drapa, and Radio Freed in Nandom. This afternoon, escalating tensions on the labor front as several unions push for improved conditions of service, with the ongoing guard strike already disrupting activities across public university campuses and affiliated health facilities. We'll take you across the country as Teachers and Educational Workers Union and Technical Universities Teachers Association of Ghana also threaten to withdraw their services. Also this afternoon, public anger over death of 12 persons in Thursday of Ankole Road crash as bipartisan calls begin for full enforcement of road safety laws and stricter regulation of tricycles on Ghana highways.
I escaped one just this week. Dual carriage, three lane, and you will find a tricycle in the inner lane.
You see police have empty TV around. You see them around, and they look on. And they, how long are we going to do this to ourselves?
We need to come to a point where we declare this as a major national disaster. We should not wait for one big guy to be involved before we see that this is serious.
We have details as former advisor to the United Nations on Governance, Professor Ajuman Dia, fires government for silence over a major accident that claimed 12 lives.
I'm disappointed that not a single official statement is ever issued, not only on the latest accident at the Ofanko section of the road, but the many other accidents across the country. And the government doesn't seem to think.
We'll explore what the rule says about tricycles on our roads. Also, residents of Laboni describe yesterday as a scene straight out of a movie, as gunshots shattered the usual calm of the neighborhood when police engaged suspected armed robbers in a shootout.
I've been seeing this in television, which is often, but actually this is my first time seeing exploring this in life, which is, it's not easy.
Oh, because yesterday I'm fear, because I ran away, the bullet cover. But dropping down here, more than 21 bullets.
We have details as two of the suspects were killed and another arrested in sports.
Ghana's Black Queens joined six others in intercontinental playoffs for the 2027 Women's World Cup. We'll tell you more in 20 minutes.
And also, Yilokrobo Police Command raises red flags over surge in defilement cases as toddlers become victims.
And it is happening on our beautiful children. It is happening on our beautiful toddlers. Some of the ages are even below 10 years.
Also coming up, after 20 years of shaping, witnessing and celebrating the NSMQ journey, Professor Elsie Kaufman finds herself in the spotlight, stand by an emotional surprise that marks two decades of an extraordinary legacy.
It's been a long journey. It's been good. It's been difficult at times, but it's been worthwhile throughout.
We have all these and more with me, Mamie Sinyamiche Thompson. This is Joy News Independent. The details now. This afternoon, tensions are escalating on the labor front as several unions push for improved conditions of service, with the ongoing guard strike disrupting public universities and affiliated health facilities. The Ghana Association of University Administrators, GAWA, has withdrawn services over disparities in market premium and other allowances between teaching and non-teaching senior members. At the University of Ghana, Legon Hospital has suspended OPD and specialist services, attending only to emergencies, while other universities have suspended some academic activities, including PhD oral examinations. Let's go now around the country for updates, beginning at the University of Ghana, where Collins Frimpong is standing by. Collins, how bad is the situation where you are?
Mami, the situation is getting worse here at the University of Ghana campus. So this morning I visited the University Hospital, which is under the University of Ghana Health Directorate, and the experience is that there is disruption in services. Checks within the OPD department, and I had some engagement with two health officials unofficially, and what they told me was that at the moment they are not admitting patients at the OPD. But if you are a patient and you want to come to the hospital, the only way that they can attend to you is through emergency. services. So that's what is happening at the University of Ghana Health Directorate. But checks also indicate that the PhD students who were supposed to write their oral exams, so they have been suspended indefinitely. So the university will have to find another time for that.
That's Collins Rimpong from the University of Ghana. Let's go now to Kumasi and find out what's happening there as well. Emmanuel Brightquickle is on the line with us. Emmanuel, what is happening at the Kwame Nkrumah University of Science and Technology?
On the KNUST campus. And so it is expected that beginning Monday, they will be having their end of semester examination. And with the relevance of the administrators in the administration of the service, this exam is really going to be affected. Just this morning, when I went there, I spoke with some of the students. Actually, somebody had come with respect to a change in name or on her identity card for the National Service registration. And so when she went there, she was unattended, and so she had to return. But she needs this change of name done to actually have his National Service registration done. And so it's quite a bit of difficulty for her. In fact, we understand that currently on the KNUST University Hospital especially, medical services are actually running. But if nothing happens, if the government fails to heed their command or their demands, on Monday, beginning Monday, they will withdraw services at the outpatients and also inpatients.
We being on strike, which is not something we actually desire, would obviously hamper examination, medical services, IT services, and what have you. We've indicated that if we are not hearing anything positive from government, there will be full force implementation of the strike, even in respect of medical services.
And that would be that on Monday going, medical services will also be affected?
Yeah, that's what it's going to be. So that would be for both outpatients and inpatients.
Well, let's go to Winneba Inspector, campus-based journalist Samuel McCarthy. He's joining us on Zoom. Samuel, how's the strike affecting academic and administrative activities on campus?
Yes, hello, thank you. Here in Winneba UW campus, like rightly said, if you go to most of the offices, that is the main administration office, as well as the university clinic, most of the senior members are not at post. Everything has come to a halt. And one of the offices that I visited was the finance office. You know, in the university around this time, they start working on the salaries. And so I visited to see whether there's some work going on. Unfortunately, I met no senior member in the office, although there are skeleton officers in the office working, just that they wouldn't disclose the details of what exactly they are doing. And I'm sure it's because they wouldn't want to go contrary to the laid down rules and regulations. So here, virtually nothing is happening. All the students are on campus.
Right, thank you very much. And that's Samuel McCarthy, campus-based journalist at the University of Education at Winneba. Now let's talk to Michael Owusu-Ansah. He's chairman of the Ghana Association of University Administrators. Michael, thank you for joining us on the Midday News. Why are you currently in the negotiations with government?
Yes, I want to clarify that I am the president for University of Ghana branch. And currently, there's no negotiation going on. And that's very frustrating.
Where did you... I mean, I know you met with the UTAG and also was planned to meet with the education minister. What's going on there?
Well, correction, we have not met UTAG. We rather met the Vice Chancellor's Ghana. And the Vice Chancellor's are our immediate supervisors and then the employers. And we presented our grievances to them. They indicated to us that they are going to also engage other authorities and get back to us as things stands now, we are told that they will be meeting us on Monday.
Right. So for now, what are you doing? You're not going back to campus. You're not calling off the strike until you meet with these, with the minister?
Yes, exactly. The essence of a strike action is to create attention to an issue, create an attention to a development. And we were looking forward to an immediate engagement with the relevant authorities so that at least we can put the issues on the table, we can get a roadmap for resolution. But that is not happening. And so we are where we are now.
But as one of the requirements is that you call off your strike and then go back to the negotiation table. So if you want to meet with the minister and also with other stakeholders like the Fair Wages and Salaries Commission to negotiate your stance, wouldn't you call off the strike and then go back to engagement with these institutions?
As I indicated, we are not negotiating. And so we have already negotiated the issues. And you recall that for the past 2 years, GAWA has been in and out of strike. The current strike is only a resumption of a strike action we went, which the stakeholders, the government and its agencies promised to resolve all the outstanding issues. 2 years down the line, the outstanding issues are still not resolved. And the current immediate issue that is sparking the outrage is the impression being created by Fair Wages that there was a negotiation on market premium. I must indicate here now that there was no such negotiation. And the public will be aware of the fact that market premium has a white paper. And it is surprising to us that Fair Wages is saying that we have had negotiations when the white paper on the single spine, white paper on the market premium, indicated clearly that market premium is not a subject for negotiation. So for Fair Wages, that's to pretend the second spine implementation to come to say that there has been negotiation of market premium is very, very unfortunate and very, very disheartening.
All right. We're grateful for your time, and that is GAWA President at University of Ghana there speaking to us, Michael Owusu-Ansa. Well, talking about industrial actions, the Teachers and Educational Workers Union of TUC, Tewu TUC, has given government a two-week ultimatum to address what it calls the persistent neglect and unfair treatment of non-teaching staff in the Ghana Education Service, public and technical universities, and other educational institutions. According to the union, despite the critical role non-teaching staff play in the education system, they continue to face discrimination, delayed payment of salaries, unfair labor practices and poor working conditions, limited career progression, and inadequate recognition.
Our members are agitated over the unfair treatment they face at every various workplaces, which constitute unfair labor practice as stipulated in the Labor Act. The Teachers and Educational Workers Union of the TUC is raising serious concern over the persistent neglect and unfair treatment of non-teaching staff within the Ghana Education Service, public and technical universities, and other educational institutions in Ghana. Despite the essential roles that non-teaching staff delay play in the education system, these workers continue to face discrimination, delayed payment of remuneration, unfair labor practices, inadequate recognition, limited career progression, and poor working conditions.
Well, we also know or are learning that NAT is threatening industrial action. Fred Smith, editor here at Joy News, joins me. Details, Fred, what do we know?
Well, the statement is signed by its president, and NAT is essentially putting three demands before the Ghana Education Service and other relevant authorities. First, it wants the immediate placement of teachers who have already earned promotions so they can receive the salaries and benefits attached to their new ranks. NAT wants outstanding placements completed by August 31. Second, it wants the Director 2 and Director 1 ranks decoupled from district and regional director positions, arguing that the current arrangement is limiting career progression and leaving some teachers stranded, stagnated. And thirdly, NAT wants negotiations expedited for the renewal of the teachers' collective agreement, which expired on July 31, 2026. NAT has given the authorities until September 7, 2026 to address these issues, warning that failure to act could trigger industrial action.
Thank you, Fred. Meanwhile, in Kumasi, members of the Technical University Teachers Association of Ghana, TUTAG, says it will withdraw services within 2 weeks if government fails to pay outstanding salaries owed post-retirement contract lecturers. Emmanuel Baikweko reports.
The Technical University Teachers Association of Ghana, TUTAG, at the Kumasi Technical University is demanding urgent government intervention to settle salary arrears owed post-retirement contract faculty. The association says 15 lecturers are currently affected, with some having gone for 12 months without pay. At a press conference, the chairman of the KSTU branch of TUTAG, Dr. Bismarck Kwaku Paka, called on the Ministries of Finance and Education, the Controller and Accountant General's Department, and GTEC to resolve the matter. He wants the affected lecturers included in the payroll validation process by the end of August.
We are therefore, through this conference, calling out the Minister for Finance, Minister for Education, the Controller and Accountant General's Department, and the Director of Ghana Tertiary Education Commission, GTEC, for failing to resolve the issue of non-payment of salaries.
Away from education, but for residents of Laboni, Thursday morning felt like something out of a movie. The sound of gunfire disrupting the usual calm of the neighborhood as police engaged suspected robbers in a shootout. By the end of the confrontation, two of the suspects had been killed and another arrested. According to the police, the incident followed intelligence that the robbery syndicate was preparing to attack three banks in the area. Maxwell Akmakbalva Security Desk went to the crime scene and reports.
I'm standing here in the Laboni area of Accra, where the Ghana Police Service says foiled what it describes as a planned robbery operation targeting three banks in this enclave. Right here on the streets, I see blood splattered here on the streets, giving you an indication of the deadly nature of the shootout between the security personnel and the robbers. According to the police, intelligence received at about 10:45 in the morning on Thursday led officers to this area where the suspects were found in two vehicles parked close to the banks. Now, police says when the suspects immediately spotted the police, one of the vehicles sped off, triggering a chase. One suspect, Augustine Okechukwumazi, was arrested while another occupant managed to escape. Now, police say occupants of the second vehicle also attempted to flee while firing at officers. A shootout followed, leaving two suspects dead.
I had exchanged the bullet, so we all rushed inside and rushed, and the police also came for this side and rushed, and all of a sudden, just crashed for you. That's where you see the bullet. I've been seeing this in television, which is warfare, but I think this is my first time seeing explaining this to life, which is, bro, it's not easy. Yeah, they were just extremely bullet. But unfortunately, I think two people, they killed two people, and the other one was not killed. So the other one, they were three in the car. So there's two was killed and one was just injured. It's like you were in the group doing this operation. But let's say thanks to them, Mr. President and the Ghana Police for working very hard.
I just heard a gunshot from the back of the Zenith Bank, the roadside, about six shots. So I heard the people were shouting, hey, stop. The first brought them at the junction here where the transformer was. One drop down. Then the robbers, where the man shoot them, shooting legs.
There's raging public anger over the lack of enforcement of Ghana's road traffic regulations, resulting in the death of many Ghanaians in road accidents. This follows the Gori of Ankor crash that claimed 12 lives, left 13 severely injured, including a 15-year-old girl without legs. Now, panelists on the AM show this morning took on state agencies responsible for ensuring safety on our roads, including the National Road Safety Authority, MTTU of the Ghana Police Service, calling for stricter regulation of motorcycles and tricycles on our highways.
We have a malaria control program, but malaria doesn't kill up to the number of people die on our roads.
Mm.
We have an HIV control program, but HIV will not kill up to the number on our road.
Mm.
When COVID came, we gave a national response But I could tell you that the number of people who die from road crashes may be more than the number that die from COVID at a specified period of time. I escaped one just this week when the person was in the inner lane of a dual carriage, three lane, and you will find a tricycle in the inner lane. What rules apply? What speed can the tricycle use in the inner lane?
Now, as the focus is turning on tricycles and regulation, let's know what the law says about the use on the roads. My colleague Maxwell Aklobotu of Joy News Research joins me with more. You've been looking at the laws. What do we know?
So, Mami, you see, under LI 2519, which deals with the road traffic regulations, section 175 of this law, subsection 1, stated that the rider of a commercial tricycle or a four-wheel motorbike shall not ride the tricycle or the quadricycle for a commercial purpose without a valid license issued by the licensing authority. It further went on and stated that the rider of every commercial tricycle or the four-wheel motorbike shall ensure that the rear number plates of the tricycle or the four-wheel motorbike are visible at all times.
All right, thank you very much. Meanwhile, over 24 hours after the incident, there's yet to be any public statement from government, and former UN governor's advisor is criticizing government for its silence.
In fact, in my candid opinion, the government should even declare a national emergency regarding the use of our roads and the accidents that we experience. I'm disappointed that not a single official statement is ever issued, not only on the latest accident at the Ofanko section of the road, but the many other accidents across the country. And the government doesn't seem to think that this is a major national issue. The absence of official statement on these road tragedies is a major concern to most of us. Especially if you're interested in the governance of a country, you must know that governments are elected to see to the well-being of Ghanaians. And if there's any major disaster, it is the duty of government first to assess it and inform public, to reassure the public in terms of what has to be done to ensure the safety of Ghanaians on our roads and elsewhere.
You're still listening to the Midday News here on Joy 99.7 FM. We'll take a break. We'll return with sports. And also, Yellow Crobo Police Command raises red flags over surge in defilement cases as toddlers become victims.
And it is happening on our beautiful children. It is happening on our beautiful toddlers. Some of the ages are even below 10 years.
After 20 years of shaping, witnessing, and celebrating the National Science and Math Quiz journey, Professor Elsie Kaufman finds herself in the spotlight, stunned by an emotional surprise that marks two decades of an extraordinary legacy.
It's been a long journey. It's been good. It's been difficult at times, but it's been well.
Mami, Sigana's 2-1 comeback victory over Ivory Coast has secured a place in the Intercontinental Playoffs as the Black Queens continue their chase for qualification to the 2027 Women's World Cup. The Queens, together with South Africa, who eliminated Nigeria, have joined Uzbekistan and Chinese Taipei from Asia, Ecuador and Venezuela from South America, and Papua New Guinea, who claimed the Oceania Football Confederation spot. The teams will lock horns in the first phase of the playoffs in November, and the winners will then be joined by countries from Europe and North and Central America, who will now compete for the final three places. Quite a long road for the Black Queens there.
Do the Black Stars have a coach now?
No, not yet. No updates.
All right. Thank you very much, Mubarak. Now, the Yellow Crobo District Police Command has raised alarm over rising cases of child defilement in the Somanya enclave, with some victims reportedly being toddlers. Police Commander for Somanya and the Yellow Crobo Municipality, ASB George Akomia, spoke at a community sensitization program.
The command has realized that cases of defilement is actually growing up, and it is happening between the ages of 12, 16, 18, and 19. And I'm telling you, it is a second degree felony. So at least When you are found culpable, tried, and found guilty of the offense, you will not go less than 7 years old. More than. Recently, you heard somebody got 20 years. Another person got 7 years. Another one got 12 years. All coming from this enclave.
Meanwhile, Eastern Regional Minister Rita Awate has voiced concerns over the continuing resort to family planning as a means of reducing pregnancies among primary school girls in the municipality.
And if in class six, a child is on family planning, why are you introducing contraceptive to that child at that age? Opening a class six, okay, like your family planning more. What am I padano fe fe fe? What dressing? Who did not call midwife for midwife? Me pacho, mabo frey. Your family planning, mano. The nurses always advise us that when the children are becoming too much and we can't control, we should do family planning for them. But for me, I will not advise you.
Well, for 20 years, she has watched the triumphs, the heartbreaks, and the unforgettable moments that defined the National Science and Math quiz. But this time, the spotlight is on her. The woman who has spent years watching contestants take center stage was caught completely off guard at the 2026 launch of the National Science and Math quiz by a surprise presentation marking two decades of her service. Here's more on the emotional tribute to Professor Elsie Kaufman.
More than five girls.
And the positive and constructive remarks he made earlier.
Source of offense. If you want to be contestants, work hard. One day you'll be here.
Two decades of questions, pressure, and unforgettable moments. Back in 2006, when the National Science and Math quiz was still finding its feet, Professor Elsie Kaufman began a journey she could hardly have imagined.